to Acts 7, I think that Mark begins his gospel by saying the beginning of the gospel is about Jesus Christ. Of course, in the Old Testament, it began with in the beginning. And in John's gospel, it talks about in the beginning was the Word. No accident, because there was going to be a new beginning, a new way of living. And God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for the one who was to come. The one who, John says, I am not worthy to untie his sandals. But he will be the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And elsewhere it says, with fire. We do a bit of that fire today. Not just figuratively, but actually. We need the Spirit of God in our lives in order to live the very life that Mark is beginning to reveal to us here, and which was revealed to us through the prophet Isaiah in the previous reading. These were the beginnings of an exciting time where God was going to do an extraordinary thing in the world and bring about a new way of living, where God would be not out there somewhere, only met by those who were holy enough to go into the temple, but actually he would make his place in our hearts by faith as we receive him. That is the way in which he intends us to live. And of course it's supposed to be a life that's intended to make a difference to us. It ought to be visible in the world, not by what we say only, but by the way in which we live. And Peter, and I want to focus on that a wee bit this morning, remind us the way in which we ought to live. It's 2 Peter 3. Now I'm going to read it from verse 8. I'll begin to just unpack a few of the phrases there. Because as we are thinking about Advent and the coming of Jesus, he will want to see what difference the gospel has made to his people, the church. How are we looking after one another? How are we looking after the world in which we live? What are we doing with this good news? How are we looking after the poor? And as we heard this morning, the homeless. What are we doing with this precious word that has been entrusted into our hands, not just to read, but to act upon, and to allow it to act upon us, to do something in our lives that will change not just us, but communities and the world in which we live. That's the power of God's word to do these things. And of course, some people will say, sometimes because the world looks so grim and awful, you know, wish the Lord would come. I wish he'd come now. Let him come. There's something very important going on here. And Peter, in his epistle, says in verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He is patient with you. I've been living with that word patient since we, last week we looked at this in the Advent course. I'm just thinking about the word patient. I don't know how patient you are in life with things that are going on around you. Sometimes we want things to happen now, and it doesn't always happen quite that way. But we're thinking here of something more important, actually, to begin with. We're thinking about God's patience. God's patience is infinite and extraordinary. And it's full of grace. It's full of truth. He is not wanting, it says here, anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. A bit like in the first chapter of Mark, people were thronging towards John the Baptist because they heard something was going on. They wanted to get baptized. But there would be a time after that when they had to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We all need to have heard that call upon our lives. Everyone, every single person in this world needs to hear that good news. But God is here to bring about change by his Spirit in the life of his church and in the world as he ranges across the earth, seeking those who will listen to this good news. But he wants to see something happen in our lives. He wants to see a change. And Peter goes on to say, he talks about this in verse 12 onwards, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day you ought to live holy and godly lives. You ought to live holy and godly lives. lies that recognize that, yes, we have Jesus as a friend, but he is also our Lord and our Savior. And we need to have that proper respectfulness in our relationship with him. And it ought to impact upon the way we live our lives, holy and godly, reaching out to those who have yet to hear the good news, caring for people, even if they're not in our community, and especially if they're not in our community, doing something that will actually help them to find some strength in the midst of the struggles that they face. And so he says, dear friends, since you're looking forward to the coming of Christ, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. One of the things that will make us at peace with him, well, obviously, initially, it's that relationship with Jesus, because he cleanses us from within. Blameless, by the way in which we live our lives, keeping short accounts with God when we make our mistakes, as we do in life. Blameless about what we have done with the good news, that we haven't kept it to ourselves, but we have given it away, that others may hear about this extraordinary, precious love of God. And then we will find that we will be at peace with him. That's where peace comes from, within, when we actually learn to follow in his footsteps, in the way that leads to everlasting life. So spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. These are important words. And then he says something very interesting. Bear in mind this, that our Lord's patience, goes back to the word patience again, means salvation. It's a part of God's plan. I am saved, praise God. I am being saved, praise God. But I know that I will be saved. It's a process that's going on within me. And as I learn to keep short accounts with God and say sorry for things I haven't done, so he's beginning to work his salvation into me. And it's his patience, his wonderful, full of grace and truth patience that allows that to happen. And indeed with anybody at all, who takes one step towards him in faith, he will embrace. Is that wonderful? God embraces us in that way. But we start by remembering that he is a holy God. And he wants things, his holiness, to be working through us. And to permeate through the world. This is a precious word. It's not just in here. It's to be shed abroad. The good news. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.